Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword shall pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband and after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to the Lord Jesus
Today's feast of the presentation of Lord Jesus and the purification of the Blessed Mother is doubly joyous today, and that's not just because we've had the reunification of the East and the West here in Manhattan, but for two reasons. It's the beautiful conclusion of the 430-day first year of consecrated life in the history of the Church. It's a time for us, as Pope Francis wanted this whole year to be, to give thanks for all that God has done in the past, to be renewed so that we might live out our vocation more passionately in the present, and to be filled with hope that this Lord who has been with us throughout these days, this Lord who has been with us as we look all the way back, is still with us to draw us hopefully toward the future. There's a second reason why we're filled with joy, because this is the 20th year in which on February 2nd, the Church celebrates the World Day of Prayer for Consecrated Life. That's the reason why Pope Francis chose to end this consecrated year today. Back in 1997, St. John Paul II established this special occasion, not only so that we could turn to the Lord and thank Him for the gift of consecrated life in general, and for all the vocations He continues to bestow on the Church in particular, for you, in other words, but also so that the whole world could focus on how the mystery of the Lord's presentation is recapitulated in every consecrated vocation, as there's a total self-offering to God in the Lord's temple, so that we might become true contemplatives in the midst of the world. One temple, presenting ourselves as a holy and acceptable sacrifice to the Lord with Christ, the only worship that makes sense, our logike latreia. So we come here today filled with joy. We come here thanking the Lord, asking for His grace to live more presently, more passionately the present, to fill us with the gift of hope as we move forward for the rest of our vocation, and hope for the Church, blessed in this way by consecrated life. And we turn to today's readings to grow precisely in this mystery. Today's feast and today's readings can help us to form a bridge of gratitude for what the Lord's been trying to renew over the course of this year, and hope as we move toward the future. The first is the mystery of consecration. It tells us here from what we read this morning in the first lesson of the Office of Readings that it is written in the law of the Lord that every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord. We pondered this morning the why behind the that. The why is because God constantly wanted us to remember the Passover, the way that He rescued His people. But it was also a prophetic oath, as we comment, a gesture in the past that was pointing toward what Christ would do. And Christ, as we heard in the second reading, took on our nature. He shared in our blood and flesh, so that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who through fear of death have been subject to slavery all their life. The Lord would come as the new and eternal Passover incarnate. And in that mystery of the presentation, when He would be redeemed, literally bought back in this rite, from God who to whom He would be given, like every child, every male that opens the womb, would be on this day that we would be able to enter on into His definitive Passover. We've been marking throughout this year of consecrated life what consecration means. It means that we're cut off from the profane, sacer, in order con, to be with the Lord. And once we belong to the Lord passionately in this way, He sends us out together with Him to continue His work. It's the change of ownership. It's the change of a title in which we, with trust, give ourselves over to the Lord's lordship. As the Lord leads us on the Passover of our redemption, at times it's a little scary. At times we don't know where He's going. At times we have the similar experiences of Abraham, where He leads us from what we know to something we have no clue about, not even telling us what the destination is. But the Feast of the Lord's Presentation, this World Day of Prayer for Consecrated Life, and the exclamation point of the Jubilee of Consecrated Life, is an opportunity for us to renew that consecration with trust and to present ourselves together with Christ to the Father. Second great mystery we celebrate today is the mystery of light. We began this feast with the blessing of candles and then walking in procession with the light. This is an instantiation of what Simeon himself would proclaim when at long last he had his hopes fulfilled as the Lord's salvation came into his presence and was held into his arms. He saw in Jesus not just a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. he saw a light for revelation, not just to the Jews, but to all peoples, to the Gentiles. And he would become the full glory of the people Israel, their long-awaited one, the one through whom everybody over time would grow to love the Jews, because it would be the means by which we have received our Savior. This light that the Lord himself constantly brings into the world, Jesus brings to us on this day, and we go in procession as candles, putting into concrete practice what Jesus calls us to in the beautiful parable of the five wise virgins in Matthew 25, that we are constantly aflame, awaiting the presence of the bridegroom, awaiting the coming of the bridegroom. We pondered a little bit on Sunday those great words of St. John Paul II in Vita Consecrata 20 years ago, in which he said that the consecrated life is not just for contemplative monks and nuns, not just for active religious brothers, priests, and sisters. It's not just for members of societies of apostolic life, members of secular institutes, so many of the other new forms that the Holy Spirit has raised up since the time of the Second Vatican Council. It's not marginal to the life of every Christian, because the consecrated life reveals the nature of the Christian calling and the striving of the bride for union with her bridegroom. In essence, what John Paul II was saying is that you, my consecrated sisters, show the entire world what the Christian life is all about. That we belong totally to the Lord. That we have entered his consecration in the consecration of the first Mass when he prayed to the Father. I've consecrated myself for them, Father, so that they might be consecrated in the truth. You show us what that looks like, but also, not only do you hold candles, you become candles to show the whole world how to strive together with you as the bride of Christ for the eternal consummation of that spousal union at the wedding banquet. Those candles are not extinguished at the end of the consecrated year. We hope that the candle has started to grow into a bigger and bigger Paschal candle, which you continue to show to this world this light of the Lord's truth, this warmth of his love, this passion for him that the world so desperately needs to see. So at the end of this year, we come and we thank the Lord for the flame that he has put within his own fire. And we pray for you and for all consecrated people that you might carry out the Lord's mission, because he said, I have come to light a fire on the earth, and I'm in agony until it's enkindled. Go set the world ablaze. The third thing we learn about this feast in the Gospel reading is about the importance of the evangelical councils. We see them all witnessed here. We first see poverty in Mary and Joseph. It's a detail that's not often pondered. But they were going to redeem the Lamb of God, and they didn't have the money even to be able to buy an unblemished lamb. They, like the poorest of the poor, needed to just make the offering of two simple pigeons. That's all that they could afford. But at the same time, though they were materially poor, they were the richest couple who have ever lived, because they were enriched by the richness of God's mercy that they were holding in their arms. We also see their obedience three times in today's Gospel reading. It says that they were doing all that they were doing in obedience to the dictates and the law of the Lord. They weren't just doing it externally. They were doing it interiorly, because they always wanted to do whatever the Lord asked. The Lord chose them precisely because Mary could say, let it happen to me according to your word, and Joseph would follow the Lord's stat as soon as the Lord appeared to him in a dream that many others, if they wanted to doubt, could deconstruct. They show us this obedience. On that 40th day, they went up to the temple just as God had commanded. We also see chastity here, not just Mary and Joseph's chastity, but also the beautiful chastity in Anna after her husband died when she was a young woman. Jewish girls would generally get married as teenagers. She lived with him for 7 years, and now she was 84. For the last 60 plus years of her life, soon as God had taken her husband, she gave herself wholly out of love to the Lord. It tells us that she never left the temple, worshiping night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God, because she was constantly thanking the Lord for her gifts, not like the daughter of Jephthah, mourning her lack of continued union with her husband, but giving thanks to God, speaking not about her children, which she didn't have, it seems, but about the child, Jesus, to all who were awaiting the redemption of Israel, that in a sense she had a special relationship to that child who was the source of her love, and she couldn't help herself from speaking about him to all who were awaiting that redemption to which the original Passover mystery pointed. At the end of this year of consecrated life, we give God thanks for the graces he's given us, to unite ourselves to him who was poor, chaste, and obedient, and the happiest person who ever lived. And we also pray for you and for all those throughout the world who profess these evangelical counsels, that it might be evermore a radiant profession of where we will find in spiritual poverty true wealth, in spiritual obedience true freedom, and in spiritual chastity true love. Fourth thing we pick up today is about ruin and redemption. Simeon says to Mary, "Behold, this child is destined." We translate it as the fall and the rise. The real words in Greek are ruin and resurrection of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be contradicted. And in that contradiction, she would suffer the piercing of her own heart, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Jesus became a contradiction to the way of the world, precisely so that our hearts could be exposed and hopefully healed, so that we would begin to get to know ourselves as we really are, not as we imagine ourselves to be. And we are united with that sign of contradiction. And we likewise will be opposed. We likewise will have our own hearts pierced, because sometimes people will be rejecting our conformity to Jesus because their hearts being exposed aren't ready yet to say yes to the Lord in the way that he wants. We talked on Sunday a little bit about how our poverty is a contradiction to the materialism of the world, to the ferocious idolatry of money, as Pope Francis says, that our chastity is a contradiction to the hedonism of the world, the full flourishing of Freud's error that sexuality is the most meaningful thing about us rather than our relationship with God. Our obedience is a contradiction to a radically autonomous, individualistic world. Our community life is a contradiction, likewise, to this desire to do one's own thing, and as prodigal sons, not just leave our father as if he's dead, but leave our brothers and sisters. Our eschatological existence, pointing toward the kingdom that's both now and not yet, is a tremendous contradiction to those who say, live for the here and now. Our prayer, our making time for God, are seeking to love him with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, is a contradiction to all those who say, God's just a little part of my life, and I punch in my time card, and now I'll do my own thing. We enter into Jesus, and entering into Jesus, we become united with him as this sign of contradiction. And the greatest manifestation of that of all is the contradiction of the cross, where the whole vertical nature of our life contradicts the two-dimensional life that so many want to live. We're constantly calling them upward while they've got that ponderous drag downward, that gravity that comes from sin. At the end of this year of consecrated life, we thank the Lord for using us as prophetic witnesses so that people can see the gospel in us, so that we can be not just signs of contradiction, but means of conversion. And we ask the Lord to conform us and all consecrated people throughout the world evermore to him, so that the thoughts may be revealed, lead to an examination of conscience, and lead to those hearts being healed. Fifth and last part that I want to talk about is what Pope Francis focused on last year in his first homily for the Feast of the Presentation, the year of consecrated life. What he really pondered was how Christ was guiding in this mystery. He said very beautifully that Mary was carrying Jesus in her arms as she went into the temple, but it was actually Christ who had been guiding her the entire time and was preceding her into that temple, guiding her in all the things that we've talked about. Likewise, Simeon came, and Simeon was carrying the Lord. But Simeon, as we know, was guided by God and especially guided by Christ in this mystery. Pope Francis cited the old, I know that you prayed the first Vespers for the Feast of the Presentation last night, and the antiphon there is Senex Purim Portabit. Portabat, sorry. Puer autem senicem regebat. The old man was carrying the boy, but the boy was ruling the old man. That all of the impulses within Simeon were a response to the graces that the child in his womb had been given him, so that he would be able to come, have the fulfillment of his prayers and hopes, and see and touch and hold and follow his salvation. Pope Francis finished that homily by saying, we can learn from Mary and from Simeon how to be guided by the Lord, who wants to lead us into the temple so that together with him we can present ourselves to the Father, and so that through that presentation we can come to that presentation we await with Mary and Joseph, where we who have acknowledged Christ in this world will be acknowledged and presented by him before the Father and all the angels and the saints forever. In this year for consecrated life, we thank the Lord for the way that he has guided us, and we ask his prayers for all those consecrated throughout the world, that we may be so docile to that guidance that others, in seeing the path we're trotting, will follow us, whether as consecrated people in that more intimate form of consecration, which we call the consecrated life, or in the basic Christian, beautiful consecration of baptism, so that they might follow us, following the Lord, all the way to the eternal sheepfold. So today we come, and Christ comes to meet us. He guides us here. He is the one who comes with that purifying fire to refine us like silver and gold are purified. It's here that we come to meet the one who is our merciful and faithful high priest, to expiate our sins and the sins of all his people. It's here that we come to meet our salvation, to hold him not just in our arms, but receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity inside. It's here that we become one with the light of revelation to the Gentiles, who wants to shine through us, and not just the glory of the Israeli people, but the glory of God, the full refulgence of the Father's glory. And at the end of this Mass, we turn to that same Christ, and we say, "Now, Master, let your servants go in peace to bring your much-awaited peace to the whole world." Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.